many thoughts to meditate as we have shared together this morning already, and perhaps we can mention some of those here in a little bit. For announcements, Brother David was asked to fill in at Tyrone this morning. That's why they're not here, and that's why they are there. We do have some birthdays this week, and we have two birthday boys today, Brother Dwayne and little Aaron. Happy birthday to both of you. Four. Your daddy's not holding up his fingers. And Thursday, we have four birthdays. Josh, little Joshua, Austin, Hannah, and Tabitha. Happy birthday to you. According to my calendar, we have school board meeting Tuesday morning. Wednesday evening is our accountability service, and we also plan to take counsel for the minister ordination here at that service. Next Sunday, we will not have services here. We will be at Camp Manawagon for that, and I didn't think to print out programs today, but they were sent out on our WhatsApp group, so if you would like printed ones out, I'm sure there will be ones there. There should be ones there Sunday morning. No church here next Sunday. We'll be at Camp Manawagon enjoying the services there. Any prayer requests that you'd like to share? Brother Marlon. First day of school, August 22nd. Thank you. Charlie? Your father and your daughter, Emily. Harry?
Yeah, for my blood pressure. They kept on increasing my blood pressure. Now I'm losing weight. Now it's kind of...
Is it helping? Losing weight, is that helping your blood pressure? Getting too low. Okay.
Starting to flop around.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll pray for your health. Anything else before we come to prayer? But Leo. Curtis and Eddie. All right, we will come to prayer at this time. Let's pray. Eternal Father in heaven, we thank you for the revelation that you gave to us that you are in the midst of your churches. And we gather here with that confidence this morning that you are in our midst. And we experience it. We know it to be true. We have experienced the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our worship. And Father, we want our candlestick to burn brightly. We want to be faithful, to be overcomers. Father, we have many that we are burdened for and care for, and we pray especially for Charlie and his health and his father and his daughter Emily. I pray that you would continue to nurture them as only you can and for their own spiritual good. And I just pray that you bless Charlie for his faithfulness as he walks a walk of life with you. Father, also pray for Harry in his health concern with his blood pressure. I pray that you would help it to stabilize and that he could go about his daily work and be a blessing in your kingdom as he is. Also pray for Curtis and Eddie this morning, two men that have been exposed to the gospel. And Father, I pray that if we have a little strength here, that you would open that door open for us to minister to them and to help to bring them into the kingdom of heaven. Father, I just thank you that you continue to nurture your church, and that even though you left this earth 2,000 years ago, that your kingdom continues on, and it continues to change men's lives. Continue to transform men and women across the world. And our desire is that we would be faithful in the generation in which we live, in the communities in which you have placed us, with the opportunities that you bring our way. Oh God, help us to have strength when we are weary. Help us to have a vision and inspiration when we are discouraged. And I pray that as we sit together and as we sing together this morning and hear your word preached and meditate on it, that it would nurture us in our Christian life. I pray that it would also correct us and rebuke us where that is needed, and purify us, bring out dross that may be in our lives, and make us better fit for your kingdom and for your purposes. Father, what would you have us to do today? Reveal that to us, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. My thoughts connected with the Sunday school lesson and the candlesticks, and then that last song that we sang. Each of us individually carrying our candle, and the darkness that is certainly around us. Can we encourage each other to keep their candle lit and face the darkness that is facing them? I'd like to look at another attribute of God this morning, and it's the attribute of God's truth. God is truth. I'm finding this study to be very interesting and stimulating in my understanding of who God is and my way of thinking about God in weaving that into my life. And perhaps, as Brother Aaron preached, that it is incrementally transforming to us. As we think about God as truth, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And you think about the attributes of God, which one is more foundational? And as I was pondering this thought, my mind, the first thought, well, perhaps the truth of God is the most foundational attribute. And then I thought, no, it has to be God's self-existence. And I learned an interesting fact this past week from a practicing Jew who knows Hebrew. He explained that the word Yahweh, which is the name of God, that's the way it is in Hebrew, often different. It's translated differently in our Bibles. Sometimes it's translated Jehovah, or it is translated as the word Lord with all capital letters. Either way, it's coming from the Hebrew word Yahweh. And the definition of Yahweh is. That's the word, that's what it means. It means is. Which, when we think of God's self-existence, he revealed himself to Moses as, I am that I am. And then he gave his name. And his name in its meaning means is, or to be. It has a past, present, and future tense embodied in one. And I find that incredibly interesting, that in a world where men and women question God's existence, God has revealed a name to his people, and that name means I exist. And certainly the fact that God is, God is self-existent, is at the very core of who he is. Right along with that is the cornerstone that God is truth. And I find tremendous strength and security as we look at these attributes of God and allow it to build an understanding of how God has revealed himself to us as. And they stand as a bulwark against a society that is anti-God. And how it should not surprise us this morning as we think about God revealing himself as truth, that we live in a society that is embracing more and more falsehoods, more and more fakery, more and more delusions, illusions, falseness, because that is the opposite of God. And so, how will we overcome as Revelation, as the book of Revelation implores us and encourages us, challenges us to overcome until the end? How are we going to overcome that? How are we going to overcome what you and I may face in our life, even if it takes us to giving our life as Jesus did? How can that be done? Well, I think foundational to it is understanding who God is and embracing God, which gives us stability and security in our life when around us things are changing so fast and are heading in such a hellbound direction. If we don't have a accurate understanding of who God is, the likelihood that we will overcome, I believe, is very slim. How do you define truth? God is truth. How do you define truth? Well, let's think of a few definitions here. True means conforming to reality or fact, not false. So, in a real basic sense, a situation happens and you have two people telling you two different stories, and you say to them, now, what is true here? You're saying this and you're saying this. These don't agree. What is true? What is actually the reality? What went on in this little fracas here? And then you sometimes find that one person admits that they weren't telling the truth. They weren't properly reflecting what reality was or what fact was. There was falseness in what they were saying. True means conforming to reality or fact, not false. Truth is the true or actual state of a matter. And we believe that truth is objective, meaning truth stands without anything supporting it. It can be looked at from all sides, and truth is truth. It's not subjective, and it's not a perception. I have a perception of truth. You have a perception of truth, but I don't have my truth, and you don't have your truth. There is the truth. And it's interesting that in the very recent past, I have started to read those descriptions of truth in our society, where the term your truth and my truth have started to appear. And it's a shift in our society's thinking, which is a natural outworking of the belief that there is an absolute truth, instead it's relative. And because society embraced that philosophy that truth is relative, how surprised should we be when now each of us have our own truth? We shouldn't be surprised, but it is false. We do not have our own truth. Truth is objective. You and I can have different perceptions of truth, but it is separate from me. God defines truth. He is the being that is self-existent, and his character is true. He speaks truth. He made reality. He knows reality, and he commands us to conform to reality. Now think about that when you look at the Ten Commandments. What is God teaching us through the Ten Commandments? Well, he is teaching us that the best way to relate to the reality of life is by abiding by my wisdom, which I have reduced down to 10 commandments. And these 10 commandments will help you to function the best, will allow you to function the best within the reality that you are in, which is earth life. So, because truth is godly, God is truth, speaking what is true is a very basic way to be godly. Speaking what is true is a very basic way to be godly. And you think, well, that is so basic. And it is so basic. And yet, it is something that naturally I want to tell falsehoods to protect myself. We are that way. And I have to embrace the attribute of God to speak truth, even if the consequences aren't the ones that I prefer, because that is the way of godliness. And I believe that we are going to witness the horrible effects of a society willing to willfully lie about everything. And if you're aware of what is happening in society, you see that they are more and more willing to lie about reality than they ever have been. And why is it that way? It's because their character is more and more anti-God. It's interesting. I was at my doctor the past week, and we were having a conversation, and he kept using the word systemically to describe problems in our country. It's a systemic problem, meaning it's part of the system, and it's that way because the system's bad, I guess. I said, it's not systemically. If it is, it's because the people's character in the system are bad. And that is what makes a system corrupt, is when everyone in that system is no longer willing to tell the truth, but instead is willing to lie. Bad things happen when everyone is willing to lie. And so speaking truth is a very basic way of being godly. And I learned this a little from a man who spent a lot of time studying the Holocaust in Germany and the concentration camps in Russia. And after spending a lot of time studying those, he concluded that the reason that they happened was because everyone was willing to lie. If people would have not been willing to lie, such atrocious behavior would not have been able to be facilitated. And you know, you think about how especially the Holocaust, the Jews were were gathered up and transported, and they were lied to. They were told that they were just being moved here or there, and they didn't take their belongings, and they weren't told, you're headed to Auschwitz to the gas furnace. No one told them that. If the guards would have said, you're headed to Auschwitz to a gas furnace, they wouldn't have been able to load them onto the cattle trailers. And so the point is that as a society loses their fear of telling lies and instead are willing to embrace falsehoods, horrible things can happen. And today my mind goes to the abuse to children and adults through the whole gender dysphoria and sex change and surgeries and all of that. It's a lie that our society is embracing, and I wonder if we won't see that bring fruit in horrible dimensions. It already is. And so the question this morning is, are we grounded in the truth of God, in the truth of God's word, in the truth of reality? Is that what my life is built on? Or is there falseness in my life? Which there can very easily be. As I mentioned earlier, my flesh wants to tell a lie to protect itself from consequences that it does not like. Am I grounded in the truth of God, in the truth of His Word, in the truth of reality? What is an illusion? You know, that's a possibility for me to live in instead of reality. An illusion is that which deceives by producing a false or misleading impression of reality. Sometimes we call it imaginations. We can live inside of imaginations and that aren't actually true. But our brains have this capacity to think up things, and we start making foolish choices because of an illusion that we have in our minds that actually isn't reality. There's another word similar to illusion, and that is the word delusion. Delusion is a fixed belief that is resistant to reason or confrontation with actual fact. The earth is flat. Think of that. You know, there are people that believe that, even though from all truth that I know of, the earth is round. And they aren't willing to change that even when facts are given to them, because they have a fixed belief in it that is resistant to reason or confrontation with actual fact. And you think about these things, you know, we want to embrace truth, but I need to be aware that I could be deluded, and that's why I need all of you. I could have imaginations in my head, have an illusion, and that's why I need my brothers and sisters as well. I could actually be telling myself a lie or being willing to embrace a lie to protect myself. These are all capacities that I have and that you have, and that when we understand who God is and that He wants this attribute of His truthfulness to be woven into the very fabric of our character, it's good to ponder if I have falseness, illusions, or delusions in my life. Perhaps you can become fearful that you are believing a lie this morning. And, you know, that's a possibility. There could be, I could have a belief this morning in something that I think is true, only to find out that it is a total lie. And that happens from time to time. Maybe you have belief in a person's character and you have full trust in them. And one day you discover that it was an illusion. They were corrupt. And you had a false belief that was and the truth was revealed, and that can be painful. And so we can fear that, but I don't think we should fear believing falsehoods. Rather, I think we should press into truth, and when falsehoods are revealed to us, we can relate to that at that point. I remembered a quote from Dwayne Tucker: all truth comes from God and all truth leads to God. And I believe that phrase, all truth comes from God and all truth leads to God, is based on the fact that God is truth. I already quoted the verse Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That's how integral truth is to God, to Jesus. Jesus says, I am the truth. Not I am a truth. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. And this verse is becoming more and more precious to me. You know, we can look at life, maybe perhaps more as a youth, we can look at life like this, where it looks like, when we look ahead in life, it looks like a pile of spaghetti noodles. And we're not sure which noodle that we need to follow to come out at the celestial gate. You know, you have these little mazes as children. You have to find which line will actually take you through the maze to get to the other end. And I believe that we live in a time where the amount of illusions and delusions that are around us can cause us to wonder which path will take us through. And that's why this verse is so precious. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is unashamedly standing to the world saying, you can follow me. I am the way. If you follow me, I will take you to the celestial gate. You don't need to try to figure out which one of the spaghetti noodles will lead you there. Rather, I am trustworthy. I will lead you to the Father. In fact, I am the only way to the Father. The end of that verse says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can trust in Jesus. You can trust in his character. You can yoke with him. You will be safe in the new covenant made good by his blood. You know, there are men who the world thought were followers of Jesus, and after they died, you discovered they weren't. Jesus has been gone for 2,000 years approximately and stands as a sinless, perfect Son of God who 2,000 years later is still beckoning to men and women to come follow me, because I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I'll lead you to eternal life. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 32. I want to read the first six verses in this passage, thinking about I am the truth. Give ear, O ye heavens, Deuteronomy 32, verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, and thy elders, and they will tell thee. And it goes on, but we don't have time to read it. I appreciate this metaphor of the rock to help us to understand this truth about God is truth. He is the rock, capital rock, which I believe is prophetic of Jesus Christ. He is the rock in which we can cling to. And that is one of the aspects of truth that is true. And that is that we can cling to it because it is unchanging in difficult times. And the analogy of God is a rock, and this rock is truth. And we can cling to this rock this morning. You know, there's a number of ways you can talk about this rock. But you could be a sailor who is shipwrecked, and you know that your strength is soon going to give out and you're going to drown. And suddenly you feel yourself swept up against a rock. What are you going to do? You're going to find the last remaining strength you have and cling to that rock, because you know that the rock is secure and the water will most likely devour you. And that is how truth is to us. We can cling to it because it is absolute. It is separate from myself. It is outside of even my experience. And when it feels like life is drowning me, I can cling to truth because it is a rock that won't move. It's been here since God made it, and the waves have washed against it, and it's still here. It's a safe place to hang on to. So that you can think about the rock that way. And perhaps this morning you feel like a sailor who is treading water. You need to come to the rock and cling to it. Or you could think of the rock as Jesus describes the two men that built their house. One found a rock and built his house on it, and the winds came and the rains came and the house stood firm. And the other man found a nice sandy spot and built his house, and the winds and rains came and it fell down. So I don't know what your perspective is this morning, but perhaps you don't feel like you're a drowning sailor, but you're thinking about life. And the encouragement this morning is build your life on the rock that will not move. And this rock is God, and he is truth. And we must remove falsehood from our life if we want to build our lives with truth. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. A God of truth and without iniquity. Right there is the comparison of a being who is sound, totally trustworthy, versus one with iniquity, which as I pondered that, I had to think about the definition of sound lumber in wood, that sound lumber is free from rot, pith, shake, or wane. So we have God described as a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. That's a description of the one that we can build our life on, we can cling to when we're drowning. And you don't have to worry about wood that is so bad that it's rotten, or soft that won't hold a screw, or the fibers have been broken apart so that it has no strength or soundness to it, or that there's missing material. Not God. He is truth. Just and right is he. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. And it is necessary for us to journey towards God, for us to journey towards transformation, as Brother Aaron talked about last Sunday. Truth is necessary for that journey. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. I wonder if that verse wasn't in the back of Jesus' mind when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the Psalms is full of descriptions of God and truth. We won't take time to look at those, but I'd like to go to the book of John. Already quoted from John, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. John 1:14 to 18 teaches us more about Jesus and truth. John 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And we are thinking of this attribute of God being truth. And here we have John describing Jesus as full of grace and truth, and revealing his Father to us as he best could, as only he best could, because he came from the very bosom of the Father. In comparison to Moses, who only received the law from God, Jesus comes from the very bosom of the Father, and he's revealed as full of grace and truth, which affirms to us that God is full of grace and truth as well. Jesus was not an illusion. He was not a delusion. He was not false. He was truth. And the fact that the truth of Jesus continues to change people's lives 2,000 years later is a testimony to the fact that Jesus is truth. And when we find him, we know that he is truth. When we find Jesus, we know that he is truth. Grace and truth came by him. John is intrigued by truth, and it is woven through his gospel. Just turn over a couple pages to John 3. We have Nicodemus coming to Jesus. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Truth reveals falsehood. Lies are discovered when truth is uncovered. And Jesus, as truth, has been uncovered. He has been unveiled. We're no longer looking through a window darkly, because the secret that God kept for many years has been revealed to mankind, and it is revealed as, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this light purifies our lives. And I believe deeply that to have healthy church life, we need to be able to live vulnerably enough with each other to allow falseness to be purified out of my life. I think that is a incredibly necessary part of our of living together healthily as a community. And it's something that I believe as we press towards Jesus, we know that there's falsehood that will have to come through to the surface of my life in that transformation process that Brother Aaron talked about. And if we don't have a level of trust and appreciation and gratitude for each other, we will stifle that purification process because we fear it. And my encouragement to us this morning is that as a body, that there would be a bond of love and gratitude for each other to the level that vulnerableness can occur so that purification can happen individually. Because I don't want to reach the celestial gate and have my falsehood revealed there. I want to send my sins on to heaven now so that I can hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I believe that's each one of us have that desire for that. John 8 yet. We'll have to skip some of what I wanted to look at for sake of time, but John 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Then answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Did Jesus have the ability to tell a lie here? We're not going to think about that very long. But the fact is that because Jesus would only speak truth, he had to speak to these ungodly Jews the fact that they were of their father, the devil. We'll get that to here in a little bit. Ye do the deeds of your father. They said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Verse 54, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out to the temple, going through the midst of him, and so passed by. And so we see here in this passage the tension between those that were willing to lie and the one who was not willing to lie, that was only willing to tell the truth. And because he was telling the truth, they hated him and wanted to stone him, wanted to kill him. The challenge for me is, how willing am I to tell the untruth, to live the untruth, to believe the untruth? How willing am I? How willing am I to speak the truth? And I find those two possibilities to be very real. To shrink from those possibilities, or to embrace those possibilities. It's very real for me to shrink from speaking truth that I know I need to speak, because of the consequences that will come from that. And so I want to shrink back from that. Jesus spoke the truth, and they wanted to take up stones and kill him. How willing am I to tell a falsehood, or to believe a illusion or a delusion? These are challenges to think about. Lies are synonymous with bondage. Truth is synonymous with freedom. But it's not freedom to live without a king. It is freedom to live for Jesus instead of being in bondage to Satan. I want to conclude with the interaction between Jesus and Pilate in John 18. John 18:37-40. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And we hear that question today. What is truth? We ask it ourselves. And when he said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. You and I find ourselves in the mob of humanity. And the option before us is to choose the truth teller, the truth, I am the truth, or to choose the robber. That was the option here for this mob, and they chose Barabbas. They chose to stay in bondage to the liar, to the father of lies. And we have that same option today. We have the opportunity to choose Barabbas instead of Jesus. But Jesus is the one that says that my truth will set you free. We can choose truth and follow in the footsteps of Jesus against the tide of ungodliness and lies today, and perhaps have to die as Jesus did. Or we can cry for the robber to be released so that we don't have to deal with our own lies. The mob wasn't ready to face their own lies, and so they chose Barabbas instead of Jesus. Let's kneel for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us. We thank you that truth is one of your attributes that is woven so tightly in your character that you're indiscernible from it. Father, I pray that it would impress on us this morning the need for truth in our lives. Truth from you, truth from your scripture, truth from our fellow brothers and sisters. I pray that we would carry forward a banner of truth, and that we would be wise with what we hear and perceive the lies that come our way, compare them to truth, most of all to keep our eyes on Jesus, the way to heaven. Father, thank you that you've not left us alone, but that you've revealed yourself to us. Thank you for your church. Thank you for the gifts that are amongst it. Thank you that together as a body, you are in the midst of her. And I pray that you would nurture the fire that is coming from the candlestick here at Life in Christ. I pray that you would feed more oil to the flame. You would trim the wick. That you would open doors. That you would give more strength. You would purify us, bring out the dross that's in our lives. I pray that we would buy of you white linen and gold. Father, anoint our eyes with eyesalve so that we can see better. Give our youth a vision to walk in the footsteps of you. Father, direct our steps, we pray. Help us to pursue you in truth so that we can find you and we can walk with you. Make our path plain, I pray. I pray that you would also make this light go forth with brightness all around us. May you penetrate the hearts of ungodly around us, and that you would bring through the open door all those that you would want to. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Number 99.